Andrew Pollard was born in Tunbridge Wells in Kent on the 29th of August 1965. He attended St Peter's Catholic School in Bournemouth before studying medicine at St Bartholomew's Hospital Medical School in London. He trained in paediatrics at Birmingham Children's Hospital, specialised in paediatric infectious diseases at St Mary's in London, and then joined British Columbia Children's Hospital in Vancouver as their clinical fellow. He currently serves as the Ashrell Professor of Infection and Immunity at the University of Oxford and is Director of the Oxford Vaccine Group at the Department of Paediatrics. He's chaired the UK's Joint Committee on Vaccination and Immunisation, the JCVI, about whom we heard an enormous amount during the COVID pandemic, since 2013, and he's also a member of the World Health Organization's Technical Advisory Group on Salmonella vaccines. Andrew's played a pivotal role in the development of numerous vaccines across his career, including those for typhoid, meningitis, influenza, and Ebola. He was knighted in the birthday honours list in 2021 for services to public health, particularly during the COVID-19 pandemic. Andrew, a very warm welcome to Titans of Science.
Thank you very much, and thanks for having me.
That's quite a CV. Why did you end up going down the infectious diseases route and the vaccine route in the first place?
Well, I actually got into the vaccine route later. I started off really interested in the immune system, and particularly the immune system of children. If you go back 250, 300 years, half of all children died during childhood before the age of 15. So one in two children died. Most of those died from infectious diseases. So there's no world in which having lots of bad things happen to you and surviving them is the right thing to do. You really need to have an environment around children that protects them from these life-threatening illnesses. And we've achieved that through public health since really the mid-1800s, when acts around clean water and air pollution started to appear, which then started a trend of plummeting under five mortality in this country that really was finished off by the advent of vaccines and at a large scale in the 20th century.
Do we have any insights then into roughly what the scale of morbidity and mortality is that are being prevented by vaccines? How game-changing they really have been worldwide?
Well, if we think about the annual lives saved in childhood from the global vaccine programs, which are not as comprehensive as ours here, we're talking about somewhere between 3 and 5 million lives saved every single year. So yes, a huge impact. And if you look at it in the context of individual diseases, we have smallpox, which was a terrible pandemic which went on for centuries, and it wiped out millions and millions of people. And that is a virus that's completely eradicated from the planet. If we think about measles, which is a virus which, when I started in pediatrics, was killing a million children every year, the global rollout of vaccines over that 35-year period, which is still not reaching everyone, but it means that we now have reduced measles mortality globally by about 90%. The impact is just mind-blowing. When I started out in pediatrics in the early 1990s, there are diseases I saw regularly then, which my trainees now here in Oxford today just do not see at all. And I find that incredibly invigorating and exciting to have been involved in vaccination over that period of time that's just wiped out the experience of junior doctors of seeing these awful diseases.
How do vaccines actually work, though? What's the simple kind of mechanism by which what Edward Jenner did a few hundred years ago translates into protection from an infectious disease?
Well, essentially, whether you're Edward Jenner or the latest generation of RNA vaccines that were used in the pandemic, they're all doing the same thing, which is training our immune system to recognize things which are foreign on the surface of bacteria and viruses, but doing it in a safe way. So you give either part of a virus, or you train the cells in our body to make parts of a virus or a bacterium, so that our immune system can be educated, so that when we actually meet the real bug in the wild, the immune system already knows what to do and gets rid of it, rather than meeting it for the first time, the infection taking seat in our bodies, causing disease and killing children before we've had time for our immune system to be educated.
They fall into different categories, though, vaccines, don't they? In some cases, we actually give live vaccines. In other cases, we give killed vaccines. In other cases, we give bits of the infectious entity that's been busted apart, chemically brutalized. And in other cases, we give toxins that they make. So what sort of determines what we use and how it works?
I mean, some of it is because we knew the mechanisms of the disease related to particular components. So you mentioned that toxins, one great example of that is tetanus toxoid, which is one of the vaccines we give routinely in 5 doses through childhood. And tetanus is a bug which we find in the soil, and it releases a toxin after it gets into wounds in our skin, which can cause paralysis. And it's just by making an immune response against the toxin that we're able to stop the disease. We're not fighting the bug. For other viruses, we know that you can just take one part of the surface of the virus and use that. So the shingles vaccine, which we now use in the UK in the elderly, just has a protein that sits on the surface of the shingles virus, which is the same as the chickenpox virus. And that boosts our immune responses so that we're able to keep shingles at bay. For other vaccines, people have taken traditional approaches of saying, well, what if we weaken a virus like measles? Could that then, without causing any significant disease, protect people from measles? And by trial and error, many vaccines were tested many decades ago to show that this worked. So in many ways, we choose the different type of vaccine, partly just on history and partly because of some scientific knowledge about which is the right bit of the organism, the bacteria or the virus to target.